exists to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Part 3, we're in this series called You Asked For It. And I'm kind of going to shorten my message just a little bit just because we've done a few things that have kind of taken us over our time a little bit. But I still want to be respectful of your time because I know many of us, today is Football Sunday. And I want to say thank you guys so much for praying for your pastor's team. If you don't know what my team is, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. And we won last week. The prayer of the righteous are powerful and effective. So thank you guys for praying for your pastor. Thank you also for interceding for Dallas Cowboys to lose and the Redskins to lose. Man, last week was awesome. It was awesome, y'all. I mean, it was great, man. God is good. So thank you guys for doing so. It was really great. But we're in this series called You Asked For It, and the whole series is shaped around messages that you specifically wanted to hear, topics that you selected back in Easter when we did a big Easter survey. And the reason why we saved this series for this season, some of you guys are like, why did you just do this in September? We did this in September because September is a time where everybody's kind of getting back into the saddle and everybody's kind of getting back to normal. And that's usually a time where the church begins to see a lot of growth and a lot of new visitors. And so we wanted to do it during a time where the season was ripe for harvest. And so as we can kind of see, that's the truth. And so that's why we kind of saved this series for this time. But the series is all about questions that you wanted answered, topics that you wanted to hear. What does God have to say? So week one, we talked about what does God have to say about stress and how to deal with stress and anxiety. And if you missed that message, I would encourage you guys to go back online, listen to it, because all of us in here have dealt with stress, right? Amen. All of us, many of us right here are stressed out right now. I can see it on your faces. You just came in looking like this. Like we're singing Resurrected. No, ain't nothing resurrected in my life, right? Like just stressed out. And so we talked about how to deal with stress. Last week, we talked about a topic that nobody ever likes to talk about. Matter of fact, I've looked at our messages, and usually we get a lot of counts like as it relates to how many times people listen to our message. And we didn't get nearly as many people listening to the message last week that we did, you know, the week before. And we talked about forgiveness. Some of y'all are like, oh, I see why. Because oftentimes, God is dealing with us in the areas that we don't want him to deal with us on. So, like, we're holding on to things that God says you don't understand. Like, you're holding on to it, but really it has a hold over you. And you forgiving that person for what they did, for what they said, for them not being there, for them walking out on you, for them backstabbing you, you need to forgive them so that way you can move forward and become who I've called you to be. So we talked about how to forgive and why we should forgive. And so if you missed that message, that's online. All of our messages are online and free, available for your growth spiritually, for you to be able to listen and also to share with others. We put them on social media. We put them on our website. So you can check that out. But today we're talking about a topic that I'm really glad that many of us wanted to hear about because I think it's one of the most crucial components to the church today. And that is this topic of spiritual gifts. Now, in case you're kind of saying, like, okay, this is going to be one of the messages I'm going to just kind of check out on, I would kind of encourage you not to. Because this is one of those messages that can kind of determine how fruitful your life can be in your relationship with God. That may be part of the reason why many of us feel as if our life has stalled out. It's because we don't really know too much about spiritual gifts. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul says, when it comes to spiritual gifts, church, I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, I want you to know about spiritual gifts. And so if you're taking notes today, I'm simply calling this message, You Are Gifted. You are gifted. And I want to read a scripture out of 1 Peter 4 and 10. This will be our main scripture, but I'm just kind of letting you know today, I'm going to share a few different scriptures as well because I really want us to get a full picture of spiritual gifts. And I could really spend like months unpacking this entire message, but for the sake of time and for the sake of your sanity, I won't. But today I really want to give us just a good fundamental overview of spiritual gifts. So here's what 1 Peter 4 and 10 says. And this is going to be our main verse that we spend the majority of our time teaching from. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You are gifted. Spiritual gifts. Now, whether you realize it or not, God has a purpose for your life. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you believe that or not, but it's true. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has something extraordinary that he wants to do through you, that he wants to impact the world through your life, through your abilities, through your talents. Like, he uniquely created you on purpose and for a purpose. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to know that today. Because many of us may be here right now struggling with our identity because we kind of think that I'm worth nothing and nobody cares about me and I have no purpose in life. No. The truth of the matter is this. God has a purpose for your life. Here's what God says to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me, that being Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Notice what God says. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." You know what this means? That God, in his knowledge, in his omniscience, which means he knows all things, and in his sovereignty, which means he's all powerful of all things, in control of all things, God already had a plan and a purpose for your life. Before you slipped down the birth canal of your mama, God had a plan for you. God had a purpose for you. And if you don't understand this, or if you don't get this part, none of the rest of this message is going to be important to you. None of the rest of this message is going to be vital to you. You have to leave out of here knowing that God has a purpose for my life. In other words, you are not a mistake. You are not a casualty of war. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. No. You were not someone who was not planned by your parents. No. You were made for a purpose. You have a purpose over your life. And here's the reason why this is important to understand. Because we can spend so much time listening to what the enemy says about us and not enough time listening to what God says about us. So the question I would like to ask us is this. Are you spending more time listening to who the enemy says you are or are not? Or are you spending more time listening to what God says you are and who you are? It's interesting because as you look all throughout Scripture, God is constantly making declarations of who people are. God, by the name of Jacob, he says, "No, you're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. I'm giving you a new name." Fast forward to the New Testament. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5, that any person who's in Christ, the old has passed, the new has come. God has a purpose for your life. You got to get that. So spend more time listening to what God has declared and spoken over you and spoken to you than you do listening to what the labels of society say you are. So you no longer can look at yourself through the lens of what society says. Oh, you're just a black person. Or, oh, you're just a white person. Or, oh, you grew up in this neighborhood. Or, oh, you grew up in that neighborhood. No. You have to begin to say things like, "No, before I was formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. He had a purpose for me. He had a plan for me. He had a destiny for me. He has something that he wants to do through my life." Need us to understand that, because how you look at yourself is going to determine how far you go on the path that God has for you. I've come to realize that the one thing that the enemy can't do is he can't destroy your destiny and your purpose. He doesn't have that authority to do so. But you know what he can do? He can distract you from accomplishing it. And how does he distract you from accomplishing the purpose of God in your life? By feeding you lies. That's how he does it. From the very beginning, back in Genesis 3, that's constantly what he was doing, pumping out lies. So he'll say things like this to you, kind of to contemporize it for you and to contextualize it for you. He'll say, "You didn't grow up with both parents in a home, you'll never amount to anything. Nobody in your family ever went to college, what makes you think you will? Nobody in your family was ever a good father or a good mother, what makes you think you will?" And God says, "That's not true. Because if I'm for you, who can be against you? I have a purpose for your life." That's a great place to clap. It's okay to clap. I promise you, man, I'm good. I love it. I joke all the time. I grew up in a Baptist church. All we did was clap. Right? So it's good. Comfortable, man. But I want you to understand that, because if you don't understand that, then you'll never begin to see yourself the way God does. God doesn't see you as a mistake. He doesn't see you as an accident. He says, "No, before I formed you in your mama's belly, I knew you. at all you. I had accomplished a plan for you. I had ordained things for you. Right? God's desire is that all people will know their purpose. And in us knowing our purpose, there's a few things that kind of come to head. God's desire is that we would, one, have the gift of eternal life through Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. God desires that you and I, before we even talk about spiritual gifts, we got to talk about the main gift, which is the gift of eternal life that is revealed and that is given through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting because that word gift in the original Greek language of Romans 6:23 translates to this word charisma, which means gift of grace, which means that you didn't earn your salvation. You didn't work for a relationship with God. God freely offered it to you through his son, Jesus Christ. And thank God that it's because of his grace that we have a relationship with God. Because if it was based upon our good deeds, if it was based upon what we do, we would never have a relationship with God because we never measure up. But because God is rich in mercy and because he loves us, because he has a plan for us, he extended grace. He extended this gift of eternal life. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus and what he accomplished for us, we receive this gift of eternal life. What do I mean by that? We enter into the family of God. That's good news for any of us in here who are saying, I feel alone. I feel like I don't have anybody in my life. God is saying, when you receive my gift of salvation, you no longer are by yourself. Amen, Aubrey. That's my daughter preaching to me right there. I preach to her every week. How does this sound, Aubrey? She says, yeah. Amen. When you receive the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, you are no longer a spiritual orphan. You have been adopted by God, who is the Father, and you have been placed now into his family called the body of Christ, called the church. And in particular, he places you in a local church. You are not alone. Michael Jackson kind of had it right when he made that song, You Are Not Alone. Because in the body of Christ, you're not. You enter into a relationship with God. You're part of the family of God. You're now children of God. But it doesn't stop there. God doesn't just want us to experience the eternal life of Christ. That's the most important thing. But because God has a purpose that he wants to accomplish in all the earth and seeing more people come to him and be a part of his family, he gives us what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. And I don't have a whole lot of time to kind of read to you all the scriptures, but I've been giving to you. Romans chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4 talks about spiritual gifts. And 1 Peter 4, the scripture that we're talking about here today, talks about spiritual gifts. Here's a working definition for those of you guys who are taking notes. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability possessed by followers of Jesus to advance the kingdom of God on earth. It's a supernatural ability possessed by followers of Christ to advance the kingdom of God on earth. It is not the same as a natural talent. It's not the same as a natural ability. It is a supernatural work that happens and that you receive when you receive the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's what a spiritual gift is. And we actually talk more about spiritual gifts after today's service in step 3 of what we call the growth track. And I would encourage you guys to stick around for that. But here's some truths that we learn about spiritual gifts. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Number one, God has given you spiritual gifts. This goes back to you understanding that you have a purpose. God, if you're a follower of Christ, God has given you spiritual gifts. He's given you at least one spiritual gift. Now, what's challenging about this, studies have shown that about 60 to 70% of believers who call themselves true Christ followers don't really know what their spiritual gifts are. And now, remember, if the church is referred to oftentimes as it is in 1 Corinthians 12 in particular, as the body of Christ, and you and I make up the body, and we don't know our gifts. Gifts are oftentimes referred to as different parts of the body. If 60% of your body was not working, we would call that unhealthy. Doctors would probably say they are in critical condition. Parallel that with the body of Christ. That if studies are true, and I really believe that they are, I've been in ministry for some years and I've seen it. If studies are true and that about 60 to 75% of people don't know their spiritual gifts, that means the body of Christ, the church, is not functioning at the level in which God intended her to function at. And I think much of it has to deal with the fact that people don't understand that they are gifted. You have been given a spiritual gift. Notice what Peter says here. I'm going to break down that first verse. God has given. Spiritual gifts, they come from God. They don't come from anywhere else. You can't get them on sale at Walmart. They got good sales, but they're not there. Can't find them at H&M. Can't find them anywhere else. No. Spiritual gifts, they come from God. James 1 and 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. It comes, they come from God. So God not only gives you the gift of salvation, but he also gives you spiritual gifts. That's what he gives you. That's what God does. Romans 11, 29 says, for God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. What does this mean? That the gifts that God has given you, he doesn't take them away. Now, I don't know if some of you guys may have grown up in church for some years, but you may have heard people say stuff like, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Some of you guys, that may not have been your background, but I heard that many times growing up. That's not true. God's gifts cannot be withdrawn. He doesn't give and then take them away. So no different than you can't lose your salvation. Why? Because it was a free gift. If you could send your salvation away, you would have done so a long time ago. And if I can send my salvation away, then that means my sin is greater than the blood of Jesus. That's simply not true. Amen? And so because I can't lose the gift of salvation, I'm also not going to lose my spiritual gifts. Now, what may happen is if I'm not using the gifts that God has given me, then I'm not reaching the full potential that God has for me. God has a gift. Then he says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Each of you, which means every person in here, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a child of God, you've received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a spiritual gift. You have at least one spiritual gift, and I'm willing to believe that you have multiple spiritual gifts. But God says, I don't want you just to know that you have spiritual gifts, but I want you to find out and to discover these spiritual gifts. And once again, these gifts are an act of grace. They're gifts of grace, which means God freely gives them to you, which means, like, I'm not picking and choosing what gifts. You know what? I want the gift to preach. I want the gift to serve in leadership. God freely dispenses them. Last time I checked, his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. So I think he knows what he's doing. I think he knows what's best. Wouldn't you say so? So I don't pick and choose what my gifts are, but I do have gifts. And God wants me to know the gifts that I have. Here's what Romans 12 says. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that has been given to each of us. Each and every one of you have a different set of spiritual gifts, and it is a beautiful thing. Imagine if your whole body was just an eye or just a leg. That'd kind of be weird, right? Like imagine if your whole body was just a finger. I mean, it kind of seems elementary, but the point is kind of making this thing clear that the body would be dysfunctional if it just looked like one particular body part. But each body part has a certain function. I don't know about you guys, like, I don't always handle pain the best of ways. It's like, if I get a cut, I just want to lay down all day. I don't feel like going nowhere. I don't feel like going to work. I ain't working on no sermon today. Sabbatical time. Right? But my point in this is it shows how everything is connected. Everything has a purpose. Anybody ever had their wisdom teeth pulled out? Right? You know how that feels. You don't want to do nothing the whole day, whole week. Doctor's been trying to tell me to get my wisdom teeth pulled. I'm like, no, in Jesus' name, I'm not. No. They ain't hurting. I ain't touching them. Some of y'all are like, it's going to hurt. In Jesus' name, no, it's not. I'm trusting that the Lord will come back before that does happen. Or he'll give me the grace to get through it. I digress. God has given all of us spiritual gifts. The question I want to ask you is, do you know what your gifts are if you're a follower of Christ? Have you discovered them? Here at our church, we make it really easy. We do it in step 3 of the growth track. It's happening right after service. You heard it in the video announcements. We actually walk you through a spiritual gift, what we call assessment, where you begin to kind of answer some questions that help to give you some type of direction as it relates to some of the gifts that God has maybe given you. God has given you gifts. And the reason why God has given you gifts is because he has a ministry that he wants you to accomplish. He has a purpose for you. Here's what 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Here's the phrase I want us to tattoo on our heart. You are royal priest. You're royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. This is crazy that Peter's saying this. He says, you are a priest. Now, when I say that word, many of us kind of think maybe Catholicism, or you think kind of like somebody who's in superior position, like there's some type of hierarchy in your relationship with God. Peter wasn't writing this to like pastors and teachers. He was writing this to the church. He says, you are a priesthood. You are priests. Now, the significance of that, and it's paramount. For my theological nerds in here, you foam at the mouth over stuff like this, because you begin to go back to the image of the Old Testament, how the only ones who were able to really encounter the very presence of God were the priests of God, the most high priest. Because outside of that, if you were just like some regular ordinary person who wasn't called to be a priest, you really couldn't go behind the deep parts of the presence of God. Only the priest could. But what Jesus does through his death, burial, and resurrection, and scripture says that the dividing wall that existed between people and God, that only priests could go behind that wall to intercede on behalf of the people of God, because Jesus is our great and most high priest, he has torn the veil so that way everybody has full access to God, which now makes sense when Peter says, you are priest of God. Which means you don't need a preacher to pray for you. You don't need a pastor to just pray for you. You got full access to God just like I do. Oh, this is making sense. Like you're a priest of God. And a priest is just somebody who does the work of ministry. They minister the grace of God to other people. They experience the presence of God. They have the presence of God. And then they minister the presence of God. This is what theologians would call the priesthood of all believers. This means that as a pastor, I'm no different than you. Like a lot of times, like in many churches and many denominations, you know, the pastor's kind of held in high regard, and rightly so he should. But at the core of it, I'm no different than you. I'm a follower of Christ just like you. Like, there ain't nothing holy about my Bible that's different than yours. Oh, he got a big Bible, man. The oil must be on that thing. My gosh, I just feel the anointing. My gosh, I touched the pastor's Bible. Let me just touch the hem of the pastor's garment. I'm going to be healed. Please, no. No, get off. Touch the hem of Jesus' garments, because he's the only one that can bring forth healing. I'm no different. And I think what's happened is, as the church has tried to do the right thing by honoring her leadership, it's grown to an unhealthy place from honor to idolatry. But then the other extreme is, whoops, they ain't no different than anybody else, so now we don't honor them at all. And that goes against scripture as well, because scripture says that you should honor your leaders. But I don't mean idolize them, because they're no different than you. So I say all the time here in our church, guys, I need y'all praying for me just like I'm praying for you. I got two kids. We got one on the way. I don't even know if we announced that, but there it is. Pray for peace over your pastor. Because I got a 3-year-old boy who just has tons of energy. I love it. But man, God is working. Then I got a little beautiful daughter who just, you know, she's kind of starting to get a little conniving. I'm like, oh, you tried to get him in trouble. Pray for me. Because you're a priest just like I am. And God hears your prayers just like he hears mine. I'm no better than you. I'm called to shepherd you, but I'm no better than you. And I want us to understand that, and I'm kind of joking, but I'm serious at the same time. I want us to understand that, because until you begin to see yourself as somebody that God has great plans for and that God has great things that he wants to do through, you will begin to live beneath the measure in which God has called you to rise above. God says you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, which means that the work of ministry is not just for the pastor. It's not just for me. It's for all of the church. Matter of fact, you want to know what my actual role is? I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. In the original language, the Greek pastors and teachers is one word. To equip his people for works of service. Did you hear that? What Paul said? My job is simply to equip you to do ministry, not to do the ministry for you. So this is why every week I'm constantly pumping, and we're constantly saying you need to start the growth track, because you need to begin to find out what your redemptive calling is. You need to begin to find out what your gifts are. Like, this church couldn't be what it is if it was just me serving. I would get burned out. I would be tapped out. It's not about me. It's about glorifying the name of Jesus and about helping others find their redemptive calling so that way they can use that to the glory of God. My job as your pastor is simply to equip you. How does that happen? Through preaching, through teaching, through helping you find out your gifts, by setting up different systems like Growth Track and small groups, creating opportunities for you to be able to grow in your faith. That's my job. And if you were just coming here on a regular basis, week in and week out, Sunday after Sunday, just kind of consuming all this preaching and consuming all this food, I say it lightly like this. You are going to be spiritually obese because you're not working out what God has been working in, which means you will not be functioning at the level that God has called you to function at, which leads me to my next point, my last point. God has a purpose for your spiritual gifts. Look at verse 10 back in 1 Peter 4. He says, God has given you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. It's a plethora of gifts. Use them well to serve one another. That's your purpose. God has a purpose for your spiritual gifts. To use them well to serve one another. The purpose of the gifts that God has given you is not for you. It's to serve others so that people would know Jesus. So I asked you a question earlier. Do you know your gifts? And be honest, some of us are like, I don't have a clue what my gifts are. Well, you need to come to Growth Track right after the service is done so you can find out. For many of us, it's like, I do know what my gifts are. My question is, are you using them to serve? Are you serving in your local church? Are you serving through your local church? Are you using them to serve in community on a regular basis? Are you using them to serve people on your job? Because, like, God didn't just give you gifts just to serve in the church. God gave you gifts to be able to serve in this world so that the name of Jesus will be lifted high. So that way, when he's lifted up, he'll draw all people unto himself. That's the purpose of the gifts. God has given you these gifts. One translation says it like this. Be faithful and good stewards over the gift. In other words, we're not an owner of the gift. We're managers of the gift. The gifts that God has given, they don't belong to us. They belong to him. And when it's all said and done, we're going to have to stand before God and give an account. Hey, how did you use the gift that I gave you? Like, when it's all said and done, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord, and he's going to ask me, and I'm going to have to give an account as to how I shepherded the Bridge Church and how I fed and taught the word and preached the word of God. This is serious business, y'all. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to help us understand reality. It's not like God is, like, sitting in the sky like, you didn't use your gift the right way? Cashing you out of heaven. No. It causes me to miss out on what God wants to do in my life. He says, use the gifts that God has given you. Use them well. Here's what Colossians 3 says. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Use the gifts that God has given you. Serve with those gifts in the most excellent of ways. So around here in our church, we believe in being a church of excellence. Not perfection. Only Jesus is that. But when Jesus calls us to serve, he doesn't call us to serve in a sloppy fashion. So we use our gifts to glorify God, to serve in a way that's so excellent that others benefit from them. Now, for some of us, this message is kind of uncomfortable because you ain't using your gifts at all. Like, you've been coming to Bridge Church every Sunday. It's awesome. I love the fact that you're here. But man, you ain't even serving yet. You're not in the game yet. And God is like, when you gonna get in the game? I gave you this gift not for you just to hold on to, not for you to sit on, but for you to share with others so that others can know me. And in our church, people who have discovered their gifts and using them, we call them the B team. They call it the Bridge team. And our church is what it is because people have discovered their spiritual gifts and they're using them to serve others. That's one of our core commitments here, to help people follow Jesus, connect with community, discover their purpose. That's your spiritual gifts. And then to use those gifts to serve others. Man, it's not about you. And I want us to be a church that does not focus on ourselves, but where we're a church that focuses on the needs of other people, that says things like, God, however you want to use me, use me. Whatever it is that you want to do through me, do it. This is actually why I wore this shirt today. And on the back, it kind of says serve team. Because I want us to know that not only, like, am I a part of this team, like, I'm no different, I'm called to serve, but that you are also called to be a part of this team. Some of you guys are like, man, I want a shirt like that. Join the team. No freebies around here. You don't get no shirt that says serve team. You ain't serving. Please, bye, Felicia. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. It's kind of a colloquial term, like, no, get real, you know, just in case you didn't know. But in all seriousness, here's what God calls us to do. Serve others with the gifts that God has given you. Here's what 1 Peter 4:11 says, and I'm closing with this. Then, after you serve with those gifts, here's what will happen. Here's the good news. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. The gifts that God has given you are so that way you can serve to the glory of God and to the good of others. God has amazing plans and an amazing purpose for your life. And the gifts that he's given you to use so that you can serve others. One pastor said it like this: spiritual gifts, they're tools to build with, not toys to play with. They're tools to build with, not toys to play with. Like, guys, the business that we're called into, the life-giving business, sharing the gospel with Jesus Christ, like, y'all realize this is life and death, right? Like, heaven and hell are real. This is why we're always talking about new churches need to get planted. I don't care how many churches are in the community. We need more. We need more people serving. It can't just be the pastor who's doing it. It has to be everybody. Teamwork makes the dream work. That's what it's all about. And God wants you and I to get in the game, to serve. So even if you're not on the team yet, you're not serving in kids, you're not serving in First Impressions, you're not serving leading a small group outreach, whatever the case may be, there's so many different ways you can serve in our church. If you're not on the team yet, I want to challenge you today, take the next step and begin to serve. I'll say this, just kind of give you guys a story to drive this point home. Ben, you guys can come on up and get ready to close. 24 years ago, I stepped foot in the church. I was 7 years old. 24 years ago, I was in the church, and they had this play called Judgment Day. It's a very vivid play depicting how heaven and hell would be. Very graphic, very impressionable, especially for a 7-year-old. That's how old I was 24 years ago, in case your math was off. And that play left such a gigantic mark on my soul that night. The gospel was so clear. And that night, after seeing a beautiful stage play of what Christ came to do, it led to me giving my life to Christ. But let me tell you what God used in that play. He didn't use just props. He didn't use stage. He didn't just use decor. You know what he used to get to my heart? People and their gifts. The gifts of people. Whether it was acting, whether it was designing stage props, whether it was running lights, whether it was running sound, all the elements in that play were because of people that God was using. And that led to me, 24 years ago, giving my life to Christ. And I thank God for that local church and those people who are willing to use their gifts to serve others so that a 7-year-old could say, I want Jesus. God wants to do the same thing through you. He wants to change your life. Yes, he has. But he also wants to change others' lives through you, through your gifts, through your abilities. That's what his spiritual gifts are for serving other people. That's what it's all about. And so if you're here today, your next step for some of us, if you're a follower of Christ and you haven't discovered your spiritual gift, you know what your next step is? Growth track. I need to start growth track today, right after service is done. Don't worry about kids. We got childcare. They can stay back there. We got them covered. You should get started today so you can find out your redemptive calling. Because God hasn't called you just to sit on the sideline, just kind of watch a move of God. He wants you to be the move of God. He wants you to be a part of what he's doing in all the earth. And I had this thought, and this idea of what it would be like when the church would begin to serve the way she should, when every person was using their gifts to serve. And I had this statement that I came up with. I actually borrowed from a pastor. It goes like this. I had this picture where people would come up to a microphone, and they would say something like this. My name is Wilson. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a priest, the gift of hospitality. I serve on the First Impressions team. I was made for this. My name is Jesse. I'm a priest, a follower of Jesus. I'm gifted to serve kids. I was made for this. And the list will go on, just plenty of people, whether it was in our church, new people even who haven't even connected with our church, and they would all say the same thing. And then even by the time you got to me, it'd be the same. My name is Edwin. I'm a follower of Jesus. I've been gifted with the gift of leadership and shepherding. I'm a priest. I was made for this. I'm no different than any one of you guys. All of us, God wants to use. So even if this church isn't your church, the question I want to ask you is, what are you doing in your church and through your church? Because God wants to use you. He wants to use you to make a difference in the lives of other people. So with that being said, we got close. As for many of us, the first step for you today, your next step right now, as soon as service is done, you need to go to Growth Track. Right in that hallway, that room, sign out there that says Growth Track. You need to go there. Find out your gifts. Don't say, I'm going to do it next season or next month or next week. No, do it today. Because you said next week, you said next month, you said next year, time and time ago, and still haven't done it yet. But today, God is saying, don't wait. I want to do something amazing through your life. I have a purpose that I want to accomplish in you and through you. But for some of us here today, your next step is not even finding out and receiving and knowing the spiritual gifts that you've received from God. But for some of us, and many of us, rather, your first step is to receive the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. The greatest gift a person could ever receive. Notice I said receive, not earn, not work for. Just receive it by faith. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, that's me, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to receive the gift of eternal life. It's a free gift, y'all. It's because of God's love for you in Christ Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to receive this gift of eternal life. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life. I receive your love. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for adopting me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we put our hands together for the gift of God this morning? Amen. So here's what I want us to do as we prepare to go. I want you to pull out that worship God. And this morning, if you made that decision to give Christ your life, you just received the gift of eternal life as we say it from Scripture. I want you to check the box where it says, my commitment today or my decision today. I'm giving